Welcome back to Two-Way Talk here on WEAA 88.9 FM, absolutely the voice of the community. I'm Kara Williams.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And we'll be talking to Jason Rodriguez. He is the Deputy Executive Director of People Empowered by Struggle. Welcome, Jason, to Two-Way Talk.
Good afternoon to Ms. Williams, my new friend, and, of course, to Mr. McCarthy, my old friend.
It's so great to have you on the show. Yeah. So, Jason, we had you on before the schools opened. Your organization was leading an effort to hold the school CEO accountable. You said that there may be a class action lawsuit, but we just wanted to have you on again to get your thoughts. So much is going on with COVID. So much is going on with no air conditioning and heat, just to get your thoughts on the opening of the public school system. Tell me what you think.
I mean, right now we're in a state of shock because we've been sounding the alarm way back before school started about sending our children back to school, knowing that the Delta variant is taking over the South, knowing that there are these breakthrough cases, knowing that we're seeing widespread infection rates, especially with those who are not able to get inoculated. And that happens to be children under 12 in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been sounding the alarm for many months, really encouraging the school system to really reevaluate sending our children back to school. And then as we started doing the petition drive to try to get parents to sign on board in reference to pursuing a possible class action lawsuit, we found many families that were concerned about sending their children back into the belly of the beast, you know, to say, knowing that there's all these variables that unfortunately could put our children at risk. Like, for instance, we know about the air conditioning and the ventilation system in some of our schools. We know that also there's a question that our good community leader, Christopher Irvin, had brought up in reference to the staff members and teachers. How many of them are vaccinated? And if there wasn't a requirement by the school system for teachers and faculty to be, you know, inoculated, how do we know that we're not putting these children at risk from those who may be anti-vaxxers or those who are sitting on the sidelines for whatever personal reasons have decided not to take the vaccination? And then again, you have children that are under 12 that can't be inoculated at this time. So these things were concerning to us, and we feel that the school system could have did a better job at probably putting the money and investment into what we were calling community learning hubs, partnering with the churches. We had originally started an initiative with Pastor Alvin Hathaway, with Act Now, with Pastor Simmons, and with some other community leaders. We were looking at utilizing the churches, the recreation centers, community centers, and allowing the children to come in smaller learning hubs to these centers, to, you know, churches and community centers, to basically do still the virtual learning, but they would do it in an environment that allowed them to get tutoring and mentoring and make sure that they're, you know, getting tested for COVID. And there's so many things that the churches and community centers could have done in a smaller capacity, as opposed to, in some cases, we're finding out that some schools have over 1,000 students in it.
Wow.
And they're switching classes. They are switching classes. And their theory, what we were told, their theory behind switching the classes is to kind of allow those rooms to breathe, because they know that some rooms have poor ventilation. So they figured by moving the children around, that would make them less susceptible to COVID's harm by moving them around. And to me, I think that that is a recipe for disaster by moving these children around. Many of the children that we've observed in many of the schools around the city, you know, they're not practicing safe distancing. Matter of fact, we have teenagers that we're fighting with right now. Yolanda Pulley is fighting with her son right now because he thinks he's invincible, because he's taken the shot. And the theory behind a lot of these young children are because they don't see the high death rate or high infection rate, they think that they are invincible. And unfortunately, they're doing things like, you know, I see them gathering outside of the school without masks on. And, you know, this is the first time they've seen each other in over a year. So for us, these are concerning things that unfortunately the school system could have done just a better idea at just pump, you know, could have did a better job at pumping the brakes and just ruling on the side of caution, as opposed to being so much in a rush to return back to in-person learning.
So what have you thought of the school system laid out very early? We had representatives of the school system on this program, and they really laid out the COVID protocols. They laid out all the masking. They laid out how the schools were laid out. Were you satisfied with the amount of information that the school system gave out around the COVID protocols?
No, and we attended some of the school board hearings, one of the first hearings that they had in reference to some of the protocols that were moving forward. We were very concerned, especially when we heard that students would be switching classes.
Wow.
We were very concerned. And again, our questions really weren't answered. They only answered a few of those who were on the Zoom and those who were on Facebook. They only answered a few questions. But, you know, we had some concerns, be it that we have, you know, skin in the game, grandchildren and children still in the system. We know for a fact that some of the schools that our children are attending are not the 21st century schools. And these schools are the more problematic schools, like Matthew Henson. These are the schools that are concerning to us, schools that we know have issues with mold, asbestos, and then now you want to add a factor of COVID, and we don't feel that there are those mechanisms in place to keep our children safe.
So what right now is happening with the lawsuit that you, you and your organization are planning against the school board?
So we want to get the community to understand with everything there are steps and processes. And unfortunately, we have recently learned that there are four agencies in Baltimore City that are currently under a consent decree. And we may be looking at the Baltimore City school system as being the fourth entity to be either under a consent decree, or in some cases, what we're really asking for is federal receivership. We feel that there should be a federal takeover, and that has to be exhausted first. I think there is no room or no wiggle room, unfortunately, because a lot of folks keep saying, well, what if Dr. Santelisa wants to sit down and have a powwow and have a talk? I'm sorry. I just don't think that, and I appreciate her education and the experience that she brings to the system. I just don't think that she is the right suit for this environment to lead our school into the 21st century. A name that's been brought up a lot lately is someone like a Dr. Bunley, like a Dr. Andre Bunley. Why? Because I know for me, I personally have walked out there with We Are Us, and I've been out there with Dr. Bunley and Captain Andrew and so many other men who are walking the streets. And when I see Dr. Bunley engaging young black men and engaging young black women in the community, he understands them, and they feel him, and they listen to him, and there is a connection there. That connection can only come from someone who is a part of the community, or someone, like, for instance, we have a saying in our organization, in order to understand the people, you have to be one of the people. To understand exactly what's going on in Baltimore City and how school and crime are directly related, how they coincide with each other, you have to understand that environment from which this is being bred. If you haven't come through the Baltimore City school system, if you've never teached or a principal in one of these school systems, if you've never had a child in one of these school systems, then it's hard for me to really believe that you are going to have a true connection and a true relationship to our community and understand exactly how to educate our children. But we don't think that there, unfortunately, is steps that could be taken with the current CEO. I appreciate the fact that she has all this education and experience that she's bringing. But, you know, Bob Marley once said this, you know, that, you know, you can have all the book knowledge in the world. Unless you have knowledge of the people and understand the people, well, you're just an ignorant, overeducated fool.
Oh my God.
In many cases, that's what's happening, is that too many people are into, you know, the Kennedy, Harvard Institute, and these policies, these public policies, and are thinking that these are the best policies for the community, but you never really address the root, or you never really address the environment. Children with PTSD from shootings and homicides, children that are generation lead babies, children that are drug addicted babies, children that are dealing with impoverishment and poverty. All these things create an environment that can unfortunately work against learning, against teaching of these children. And if you don't understand these environments from where these children are coming from and from which these parents are being bred from, then how could you possibly build a school system that's going to educate them?
So I want us to explore more, because I think you've really touched on trauma, on young people and the system. But before we get into that, I do want to ask you, the school system here in the city has shut down so many times since the opening of the school system because the schools are not air conditioned. The heat is too high for us to have children sitting in classrooms. How could they have addressed this? They had a year and a half to address some of the schools. All the new schools we opened in the city, of course, are built with air conditioning. How could Dr. Sandalises, the school commission, and others look into the future and say, we have to do something with the money we got from the state? The governor pointed that out when he was visiting the city, that we could really turn the corner on this air conditioning in the public school system.
I think you pointed it out. The schools have been closed since, what, March or April of last year? You've had a year and some change to address this issue. And then I don't buy this fact that the mayor is trying to say that he has no accountability.
Of course.
We do have accountability, because when our children fail and they end up in the streets and they're doing desperate things in the process because they know no other way to self-sustain themselves, we have to deal with them with the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars that we pour into public safety. What could have been done is Dr. Sandalises, in many cases to me, who is the drum major for the school system and really the person that has, you know, she's the litmus test. She knows exactly what's going on in the school system and can solicit other agencies and other institutions for funding and for materials and things that are needed in order to better educate our children. Mm-hmm. What could have been done here in Baltimore City is something like they did in D.C. D.C., they took a bond out. And what they did was is they went in, they fixed the recreational centers, they fixed the schools, they didn't make any excuses, they poured the hundreds of million dollars that were necessary to get the infrastructure in order, and they spread it out over 10 years, 15 years, and a bond. The city can do the same thing, too. We constantly give bonds out and TIFs to corporations, billion-dollar corporations. Why couldn't we make that investment for our children? Why couldn't we take a bond out for the people? I would be willing to sign on to a bond if it meant taking care of our children, and our children are not sitting in the classroom either freezing to death or sweating to death.
So, Jason, I get what you're saying about Mr. Bunley, that you found like he was very cohesive in the community and he had a good relationship with the children and all that. But when are we going to get to the core of who's accountable for this supposedly lost money? I mean, having a good relationship in the community is one thing, but we still got millions of dollars out there that is just supposedly lost. So that's really what we need to get to the bottom of.
I know that we've been on, our organization, People Empowered by the Struggle, has been on the phone nonstop for the last several weeks. We have called the new U.S. Attorney General for Maryland, Eric Barron, who is a black man, first black man to hold that position, and first Democrat to hold that position in 20 years. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping that Mr. Barron understands the importance of accountability and not stealing from our children or not stealing from our taxpayers or deceiving parents in relations to their children. We're also pushing Brian Frosch, Attorney General Brian Frosch's office, to also as well hold someone accountable. That's all we can do right now is to continue to push the system to hold someone accountable, especially when, you know, the system doesn't seem to want to hold itself accountable. They just assigned a new principal to Augustus Fells, who's wrapped up in a double scandal herself.
Yeah.
So I believe her name is Kamala Carnes is her name. She's been wrapped up in possibly changing of grades, and as well as setting up accounts, personal accounts, and putting school money in these personal accounts. To me, why are we allowing someone to come into a broken system who's coming with baggage already. And that's why we say that, unfortunately, in some cases, when you don't have a CEO that's willing to hold the hen house in check and is allowing the chicken hawks and the foxes and everybody else to come into the hen house and steal from it and mislead the community at the same time, we have no other choice but to relieve that CEO of their duty. They're not doing their job in holding the system accountable. That should be number one priority of any CEO, is to hold an institution or a corporation accountable for its practices. We have people that have no moral compass. They are deceiving the parents. They are cheating our children. They are cheating the taxpayers. And the CEO is not holding them responsible for it.
So I want to ask you, first I want to ask our listeners, if they have a question for Jason or they like to offer their opinion on the public school system, give us a call at 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888, and you can join the conversation. Jason Rodriguez is the Deputy Executive Director of People Empowered by the Struggle. I want to ask you about trauma. I haven't heard the Baltimore City School Commission say anything. Baltimore City children just endured a year and a half of the pandemic. They were educated online, virtually, and it just did not go well. Now they're in the schools, and we are terrified of the Delta variant, the COVID. We're terrified for the teachers. Maybe I'm wrong, this is why I'm going to ask you, when has the school system, the school commissioners, said anything about addressing the trauma that our children have endured? And matter of fact, how are we going to deal with the trauma that our children have endured? Is there a plan by the school system to deal with the violence, the pandemic, all of the hurdles that our children have had to face in the last year and a half? And of course, now we're in the seventh year of record homicides in the city.
I know that I've been corrected many times, especially by my friend Tharu Vishnaraja. I've been corrected as to that she has had a plan. She's had a maintenance plan. They say that you can go online and you can see the maintenance plan pushed all the way out to 2028, you know, would be the final AC installation. She does have a plan, according to Tharu, in reference to addressing, you know, some of the issues within the community. But again, I think that when you don't have a clear understanding of the dynamics of the people for which you are serving, it's hard for you to serve them. If you don't have a clear understanding, it's almost like someone going to a foreign country and, you know, as an American, and then expecting to get served as an American and get catered as an American. It's not going to happen. She does not have a true connection or a true identity to the community. So it's hard for her to understand what trauma is like in our community. She may see it because she has to deal with the children, but she doesn't understand those households. She doesn't understand how that trauma affects the community in whole. She doesn't understand some of the things that, like, our organization deals with on a regular basis. You know, Yolanda Poli's niece was just killed recently. She was a 15-year-old that was killed in Emerson Village. Like, our organization is hurting. Our family is hurting. And everyone connected to us that knew Naya is hurting. So these things have a ripple effect through the community that I just don't think that she has a clear understanding. I give her an A for effort. Don't get me wrong. I think that she is doing the best that she can with the abilities that she has. But like Bob Marley said, if you don't understand the people, you can be an overeducated fool, you know, and not be able to address the true needs of the people. You know, you can have all this book smarts in the world. It doesn't mean that you will understand how to address this community. And I don't think that she just has a true grasp on addressing our community.
I don't give her an A for effort.
Oh, wow.
I don't give her an A for effort because, like he said at the beginning of this segment, this has been a rallying cry for a long time. So I don't give her an A for effort because she could have stepped in at any time and done what was right. So it's just my opinion.
Or an E for effort. I'm sorry, an E for effort. I keep getting corrected about that from people, an E for effort.
So Jason,
I still say that she's giving it a try.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that she's successful at it. And I think in some cases, that's where she really needs these partnerships at. She should be working with an organization like People Empowered by the Struggle. Why? Because our phone rings all day long dealing with people and trying to help them navigate through their struggles. So if anybody understands what these children are dealing with in a Matthew Henson community, it's us. It's us. So Jason, we should be sitting at the table.
Jason, let me ask you. The American Rescue Plan, I think we're estimating over $641 million will be coming to Baltimore. How are we going to make sure? I know that the city council president and members of the city council are passing legislation or considering legislation to hold the mayor accountable for how this money is spent. They want to be part of the decision making. There's a lot of talk about how that money could help the public school system. Who is actually monitoring? And have we gotten any indication from Mayor Brandon Scott on what the priorities will be when it comes to the American Rescue Plan dollars that are coming to Baltimore?
Well, you're looking at the American Rescue money. I'm looking at the hundreds of millions of dollars that have already come into the Baltimore City school system in reference to PPE.
Yeah.
Plus, there was an additional $190 million that was given to the school system that's expected to be spent by 2023 that President Biden has said that it doesn't have necessarily a guidelines to it.
Mm-hmm.
They could spend it any way they want to. As a matter of fact, the White House is encouraging to rethink and reimagine education. So I'm concerned about these hundreds of millions of dollars that are coming from Washington as well as the federal school system in reference to COVID that needs to be accounted for as well. And that seems to be a problem. Accountability is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I know that when the Baltimore Black Think Tank tried to get records, they were met with opposition and rejection at North Avenue. When Fox 45, and everybody likes to, you know, kind of condemn Fox 45, but they're the ones that unfortunately have been keeping the story front and center and have spent the hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to court to file for freedom of information requests against the school system, only to get documents that in most cases are blacked out. 75% of the pages are blacked out in the process. So, you know, one of the things that our organization has been calling for is an independent forensic audit.
Mm-hmm.
This needs to be done. I think it needs to go back 10 years. We need to know how deep this rabbit hole goes. That's the problem. We don't know how deep this rabbit hole goes, and no one is coming out. I mean, just be straightforward. If things are, you know, catastrophic, at least let us know so we can do something about it and sound the alarms and try to get the resources to try to shore up the institution. But if you're misleading the community and you're not trying to provide the proper information, then we have no other choice but to fight you in the process as taxpayers, as concerned parents, as concerned community leaders. We have no other choice but to fight you to find out the true information. And Anthony, I want to say something. I don't want folks to get upset at this, but I think in some cases, we can't rule out any school in this process.
Mm-hmm.
Because I say, and many of us in our organization and some folks that we've spoken to that are educators, we can't rule out that a city or a poly doesn't have anything to gain or benefit from making sure that their achievement scores stay at the top.
Mm.
Not to say that these schools are not doing well. I think that they are faring well more than some of the other schools. But I think that Augustus Fells is not a fluke. I say that there are schools that in some cases the incentive is there to keep their schools looking good to North Avenue and the principals staying in good faith at North Avenue, that there may be every school involved in some cases of padding or shading or floating or whatever it may be in reference to academic achievements.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is not a fluke, just the poor neighborhoods. I think that and as far as educating black male and females in this city, North Avenue is struggling to do that.
So we have some callers on the line. We want to get in before the end of this segment. Join us. We're talking to Jason Rodriguez, Deputy Executive Director of People Empowered by the Struggle. Let's go to Jerry. Jerry, welcome to Two-Way Talk.
Hello.
Hey there. You're on the air.
Yeah. I think the biggest problem is when the state took over the school system. That destroyed Baltimore City school system.
Yes.
And added all these problems we're having now. Mm-hmm. Because there are the incentives to keep people, like you're saying, it has a lot to do with what the state did. I remember when my daughter was in Mount Washington and how the state came in with teach kids how just for a test, and it destroyed the kids in spirit of learning about reading, writing, and arithmetic, just teaching for a test. And that's what really started what's going on now. So you got to look back. You can't hold just the mayor just for what's wrong, because this has been going on ever since the state took over Baltimore City school system. So you guys just to take it right now and say, oh, it starts with this mayor. No, it started back with my daughter, and she's 32 now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when the city school was destroyed, and this is what we got.
Thank you, Jerry. Now, one of the things we got to make clear, the Baltimore City schools were not taken over. We gave the school system to the state.
Correct.
We asked
in hopes of getting more funding and more support.
Yeah, that's right.
Correct.
So they did not take over the school system. We gave them the school system to take over.
Correct. So one of the things that we're looking at, Mr. McCarthy, is we're looking at asking our legislators, our state legislators, are looking at bringing back local control of the school system, as well as a local elected school board. And in some cases, you know, the school superintendents in many other counties are elected by the people.
Yeah.
And I think in some cases, that's something to consider. We need to look at best practices. And right now, Baltimore City is not following best practices of what the states and the other counties are doing.
So, Jason, that music means we're out of time, unfortunately. And
thank you.
You call me Mr. McCarthy one more time, Jason. You know me as Anthony. And we really appreciate you spending time with us. We have a bunch of callers holding on, but we can't get to them. So we'll have you on again soon and let people ask the questions or state their opinions of the public school system. Thank you, Jason Rodriguez.
Thank you.
Take care. Jason Rodriguez, of course, is the Deputy Executive Director of People Empowered by the Struggle. And they had joined us before because they were looking at a lawsuit against the school system, a class action lawsuit against the school system to force out the current CEO. So we're going to stay on top of that. You're listening to Two Way Talk. We'll be back in just a moment. 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 Talk.